Space Ghost. This is Jessica Saggio, and I'm here with Rob Landers for another edition of Boiled Down Bavard.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. So we have a lot of news to talk about, but first...
First, if you haven't done so yet, shame on you. No, seriously. Please click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow on the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic app so that you never miss an episode of Boiled Down Bravard. And if you like what Jessica and I are doing on the regular, please go to the iTunes store and give us a 5-star rating. That rating really helps other people find us to hear what we're doing. So if you like us, maybe your friends will like us, and then everybody will like us. So... give us that rating.
Please
anyway,
like
you can follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica J. Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. And on Snapchat at JujuJ. That's JuhJuhJuh. Now me, you can follow me on Twitter and on Snapchat at by Rob Landers. That's at BYROBLANDERS. Although on Snapchat, leave the at off.
Rob is better at spelling my name than I am. I just want everyone to know that. I thought I went from like a hard name to an easier name, but really I just went from a hard Italian name to another annoying Italian name. So, yay me.
Yeah.
Married up in the world. I was hoping to go for like a nice like traditional English name like Manchester. Jessica
Manchester.
Yeah, wouldn't that sound lovely?
Wouldn't it, though?
No, I gotta stick with my Italian roots, I guess.
Well, at least now you don't have to have tea at 4 every afternoon.
That's true. But I...
Could you pass the biscuits?
But you know what? I'm not really supposed to have tea right now.
That's right.
Because
speaking of biscuits, Jessica's got a little bun in the oven.
Little bun in the oven.
Little bun in the oven. Hooray!
I have some news.
Yay!
Yeah. So over the last like several episodes of this show, I've been pretty sick the whole time and just no one's known about it, including Rob. I've sat here with like a water bottle and been like, I'm going to make it through. And
meanwhile,
I
she's
did.
Been wanting to be like, hoo-ah!
Yeah, I've, you know, this pregnancy is not a good look for me, really, because I tend to not even look pregnant. I just look fat. I don't look like that cute little pregnant person.
You don't look fat. You
no,
look pregnant.
I do. I look fat, but that's
you
nice,
don't look,
Rob.
You don't look fat. What I will say, though, is that the pregnancy hormones are really making Jessica loopy. Like, really, really loopy. Like, I've been told that we can't do the podcast for 3 different days because she's got doctor's appointments and the doctor's appointments keep moving.
Okay, in my fairness, I have like 5 this week.
That's true.
Anywho, there will be many pregnancy columns in my future on how to adult, I'm sure, so stay tuned. With Cece, like, I was in rare form with Cece. I went back and was reading my old blogs when I was pregnant with her and like cracking myself up. It was sick. I was laughing at my own self. So I'm really funny, guys. It's so hilarious.
So, who stabs a dog?
Seriously, though.
Right, seriously. What kind of person burglarizes a home and stabs a dog in the process? And we're not even talking about like the big ferocious kind of dogs. Mm-mm. We're talking like a Yorkshire Terrier. There we go back with the British. I wonder if the Yorkshire Terrier enjoys tea and biscuits.
They're like 10 inches long.
You can put them in your hands,
you
right?
Can just throw it across the room. You don't have to stab it.
Well, it sounds like that's what they did. So, sadly, this story isn't just some bizarre plot line from the latest twisted Netflix show. Have you seen Stranger Things?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It gives me nightmares. I can't watch things like that.
It's kind of out there. But anyway, and it's very much like that whole alien scary kind of thing
that
you don't
great.
Like.
Oh, great. So, I'm definitely not going to watch
it. Yeah, because it's weird. Anyway.
We're moving on.
But anyway, this dog stabbing incident actually happened right here in Brevard County. What happened was a Palm Bay homeowner went on vacation and said, "Hey, neighbor, could you watch over my house and my dog while we're gone?" And so during that time, the house gets broken into, and the burglar goes crazy on this house. Like, think Macaulay Culkin in the original John Hughes classic Home Alone. So on top of stabbing an innocent little, you know, my wife likes to call them the yappy dogs.
Yeah, the little yappy dogs.
Yeah, yeah. With a pair of scissors, the burglar caused more than $2,000 in damage to the house, including pouring dish soap all over the floor. Now, if that doesn't scream Home Alone, like I'm trying to keep the wet bandits. So if nothing screams, I'm going to try and keep them from getting any further into the house than pouring Dawn dishwashing soap across the linoleum. I don't know what does. But the good news here is that the dog is still alive and is recovering. But it's said that poor little Fido there might have some PTSD going on. I mean, you know, he did get stabbed after all. Yeah. But also, get this. This is the second time this house has been broken into in the past month. The last time, like, a coin collection was stolen. So apparently, you know, the robber went in, saw that they had some good stuff, took the coin collection and said, I'll be back. So
I have so many questions about this story that are unanswered.
Right. There haven't been any arrests yet, and anyone with information on this robbery is asked to call police at 321-952-3456.
This is completely different. So we're just going to switch tones here. So the Space Coast Office of Tourism released this new video, all right, that's supposed to lure people to the Space Coast, right? Have you seen
what people would it be trying to lure here, Jessica?
Specifically, millennials.
True.
So this video is clearly aimed at the, I would say, 20 to 25, 26-year-old millennial. Okay, it shows five friends who are doing all these really super fun things in Cocoa Beach, like helicopter rides and visiting Ronton Surf Shop, miniature golf, and all these really cool things. It's very 90210. You know, it looks like, you know, episode of The Hills kind of thing. So this is what they're going for. Now, I, as a millennial, am obviously not the target. They say they're targeting millennials, but there's no way they're targeting all millennials, because for me, my video would be like a nanny and a box of wine on the beach. Like, it would.
Right.
So I don't need a helicopter.
This is more like they're targeting like the single millennials or the married millennials with no children to come down and enjoy the nightlife and enjoy the libations and enjoy the thrill ride of, you know, taking a helicopter flight over the beach or.
Right. Well, the theme is 24 hours in Cocoa Beach. So it's obviously someone who only has 24 hours worth of money. I mean, that's how I view it. Is it's not for that family coming to Cocoa Beach, like the young family. It's not really geared towards them. It's geared towards maybe the millennials that live in Orlando and want to come for a day to Cocoa Beach and just stay the night and make the most of it kind of thing. That's what they're really going after. The video got rave reviews when they presented it to the Brevard County Tourist Development Council's Marketing Committee. Sorry, it's a long name, but that's what it is. And I did make a note here that not a single person on the Marketing Committee is a millennial, so I'm just putting that out there. But, you know, go watch it. Go watch the video. See what you think if you're a millennial, if it appeals to you. I've had a couple people say they liked it, but those people were, you know, millennials in a very different place.
Okay, so back to our whole, you know, let's be British thing. What is up with all of the roundabout proposals in Brevard County? Okay, haven't you guys experienced enough of the dreadful circle of terror in Vieira? I mean, seriously. Earlier this year, two roundabouts were proposed for Titusville, one at the intersection of Garden Street and Singleton, and another at US 1 and Gray Street. And the idea is to slow down traffic a bit. And annoy everyone, I suppose. But hey, what do I know? Thank you. So anyway, then earlier this month, a roundabout was proposed for Cocoa Village. It was going to be located at State Road 520 near the base of the Hubert Humphrey Bridge, again, to slow speeders and alleviate congestion on the road near Riverside Park. Yeah, as Jessica wrote in her Boiled Down Brevard column this week, a roundabout at the bottom of a bridge. Seems like a spiraling vortex of death to me.
Seriously.
But again, what do I know? There were also two proposed for O'Galley Boulevard on Melbourne's strip of the Barrier Island that everyone likes to refer to as Indian Harbor Beach or Indian Atlantic, but it's actually Melbourne. Those got the kibosh as well. Now there is a proposal to add a roundabout in Rockledge at the intersection of Fisk and Roy Wall Boulevards. And officials aren't really jazzed about this one either. The Florida Department of Transportation is studying all of these locations, and nothing is a done deal quite yet in defense of the roundabout ideas. They are definitely pretty commonplace throughout, you know, the rest of the civilized world, but and they do slow people down, mm-hmm. No arguing that, but either way, some people around these parts are really not into the whole idea of, I'm going to make a right turn out of the left lane, and I'm going to pray that the guy next to me knows what he's doing before he sideswipes me into the passenger side of my car, because I'm going.
Yeah, it's so 2016. I can't believe how many proposals. The only one of those proposals you just mentioned that wasn't this year was the
O'Galley one.
The O'Galley one. Yeah. To be honest, the only one of these that seems to have overwhelming support is the Cocoa Village one, which that one to me is the scariest one because of where it is. Like, I understand why they don't want people speeding in that area because they want to make it more pedestrian friendly, I'm sure. But oh my God, that just sounds like a nightmare driving to Merritt Island.
It's crazy.
You know, they do slow people down, but I just see them being a huge hiccup. And especially the one in Titusville that's on US 1. Like, I get that too. They want to slow people down before downtown. Totally get it. But man, on a major road like US 1, again, sounds just like a nightmare.
I mean, seriously, you want to slow people down in Titusville before they get to downtown? Station a couple Titusville PD cars there.
Yeah.
Just have one pointed at the traffic that's heading north into downtown and have the rest of them just track them down and start writing tickets. It's revenue for the city. It'll pay for itself. You don't have to worry about a roundabout, and we don't have to have a circle, a vortex of death sitting in Titusville.
And it's good. It's good for them visually. You know, if you see police, you feel safer naturally, even
right.
if it's a traffic stop.
So let's just, you know, let's station a couple of Titusville
yeah.
police out there on US 1.
I'm okay with that.
And not worry about the roundabout, because I would rather see our men and women in blue out there generating revenue for the city than having to worry about driving through a circle and having to yet again worry about whether the guy or the woman in the car next to me who, you know, may or may not be paying attention to the road signs is going to slam into me when I'm trying to exit the roundabout the way I'm supposed to.
Exactly. No, I totally agree with that.
You don't need a roundabout.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So what is up with the Superbug?
Superbug.
Is this a new kind of Pokemon that I'm going to catch in Pokemon Go?
I wish it was, because it would probably have a really high CP.
Probably. It'd be like a Scyther.
Ooh, I caught one of those the other day.
I did too!
Yeah.
Like a 1,000 CP Scyther.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mine's not that high.
O'Galley. O'Galley Public Library. I'm telling you, O'Galley Public Library is the place to go if you want to play Pokemon Go. But the story Jessica's about to talk about has nothing to do with that. So anyway, go ahead.
No, it doesn't. It's actually way more depressing than anything that has come out of Pokemon Go. Okay, so let's talk about environment reporter Jim Wehmer for a second, okay? I sit next to Jim. I watch him work. I know what's up with him. And he has arguably the dirtiest job at Florida Today by far. His stories are among the most disgusting I read on a daily basis. The brown tide, sewage spills, dirty water, cancery water, weird bugs, all right up Jim's alley. He writes about all of that.
And he loves it.
Yes, every minute of it. And you would think he'd be this like smelly guy kind of walking around, like environmental,
I've
like
never
hippie
sniffed
guy.
Him, so I wouldn't know.
Well, I sit next to him, so I can attest to the fact that he does not have BO or anything. Like, he actually looks pretty prim and proper. Like, he doesn't look like the hippie type environment
he's
reporter.
Not, he is not the hippie type of environment
no,
reporter.
But he's more like a scientist, really.
Yeah.
Like, he gets all these, like, his stories sometimes I'll have to be like, okay, I need you to, like, really dumb this down for me.
I'm going to start referring to him as Professor Wehmer.
Seriously, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. So Jim's latest report is about what nightmares are made of. Quote, superbugs is what he calls them. And researchers over yonder in the land of Tampa recently discovered a certain type of bacteria that's resistant to antibiotics. And not just any antibiotics, the big guns. The stuff you take when all the other antibiotics do not work. Yay, right? So, you know where they found this bacteria? Get this. It was where a 2014 sewage spill took place in St. Petersburg. So, sounds familiar, right? Sewage spill, rings a bell,
yeah,
rings a bell.
Yeah, right over in Indian Harbor
Beach.
Yeah,
area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We just had, they accidentally or
Turkey
whatever dropped more than 1 million gallons of raw sewage over in Indian Harbor Beach, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it made its way through the canals and into the Banana
River. Well, there was
River.
A sewer line that broke.
Right. Well,
it's not like it was it was purposely discharged, but there was a sewer line that broke. And it wasn't one of those accidental discharges like the one that happened in Turkey Creek,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? But this was a sewer line break, and they had to they diverted the
right
effluent into a nearby canal.
What a nice way of putting that.
Yes.
Well, that was the one where if they didn't do it, it was going to like come up through people's businesses
yes.
and houses. So We get why they did it, whatever. But I'm not saying that we have this bacteria in our neck of the brown tide woods, all right? But we do have some antibiotic-resistant bacteria lurking in the lagoon right now. It's not necessarily this, but we do have some stuff that's a little bit questionable. Scientists have been studying our dolphins here, and they found that over the past 10 years or so, these cute little flippers have a, quote, high incidence of tumors, heart problems, cancer, stomach ulcers, skin lesions, genital herpes, and other ailments previously thought rare in dolphins. Genital herpes, that's all I have to say. Our dolphins have STDs. So, they have the antibiotic resistant bacteria in them. So we don't have the super bug here yet, but we have like the beginnings of it, and it's in our dolphins and their STDs.
That's just nasty.
I know. I don't even have words for this.
That is just nasty.
Our dolphins.
Well, okay. Dolphins. Ooh. Dolphins are supposedly the only other mammals or animals that have sex for pleasure like humans do.
Right.
So it's not hard for me to believe that they're passing on the herpes. Because they're, you know.
It's like the villages in the
I was just thinking that and going, okay, would that be too far? But no, it is. It's like the villages.
But in right here, Brevard County, among dolphins.
Right.
So now you know. Our dolphins have STDs and they have the nasty bacteria that you can't cure with medicine. So just keep that in mind. Jim said he was really actually kind of concerned about this because I was going to talk about something else today, but he was like, no, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse is coming, guys. I hate to break it to you. So.
I'm a little concerned.
So fresh on the heels of the Netflix show Making a Murderer and along the lines of the NPR Serial podcast, news columnist John A. Torres and I have been locked away in my office for probably 150 hours so far working on producing a 6-episode podcast called Murder on the Space Coast. Now, the podcast, which is about, you know, a murder, can get a little graphic and may not be suitable for sensitive listeners. Now, I have to say that as a disclaimer, but truly, if you listen to Jessica and I week after week, you've grown numb to things that should make you nauseous. Anyway, the podcast centers around a 1983 murder that, to date, is one of the grisliest crime scenes Palm Bay has ever seen. That podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. Now, the official launch date of the podcast is August 8th, but if you subscribe now, you might actually get to download the first episode a couple days early. So go to whichever of those 4 podcast providers, search for Murder on the Space Coast, and click subscribe. And Jessica, I can tell you that there were several times when I was listening to John's narrative and the details about the case where I had to stop editing, and I like threw my headphones on the desk and looked at John and started shouting, "Are you freaking kidding me?" Okay, so someone was convicted of the murder, but this really looks at the trial and the evidence, or lack thereof, and questions if the right person is actually behind bars. I mean, it is scary when you look at the power of the prosecutor and the power of the law enforcement agencies. And in 1983, it was really scary. And John talks about like a dog handler that's been involved in some other cases that was not legit, and we're really questioning whether this guy was wrongfully convicted. So
you're gonna love it. Like, I mean, there's been one intro to it that
two intros. There's two promos that if you subscribe now, you can listen to.
And John Torres is probably the best storyteller on staff. He's just really dug into this. If you see the office he's been working in, there are pieces of paper all over the wall where he's hung things up,
literally,
and tied things together.
The only thing that's not there are like the red pieces of string connecting all of the stories together.
It's so old school journalism. It's a great story. You're not going to want to miss it. It's maybe the coolest thing I've ever seen Florida Today do. No offense to everyone at Florida Today, but it is very cool.
It is really cool.
You're going to want to check that out. Another thing we have coming up real quick, just making this real brief, is Bob Gabordi, our executive editor, in celebrating his 60th birthday, happy birthday, Bob, is having a community walk August 7th at Pelican Park in Satellite Beach. It starts at 6 a.m. Yes, it's very early, but they want to make it a sunrise walk, and it's like the tide's going to be
low
perfect.
Tide.
Low tide. And he just asked that if you come, join him. It'll be fun. I think they're going to go out to breakfast afterwards, but bring a bag of non-perishable food. He is collecting canned goods and all that jazz on behalf of Ascension Catholic Church's food pantry. So
he also he has also asked, because we did a promo for this on the Florida Today Show, which you can see at 5:30 on Sunday. Nice little shameless plug there.
Plug.
On WEFS. Anyway, he also asked that if you are planning on attending the walk, there's no cost to participate, but we just ask that you let us know that you're coming and register at floridatoday.com. So that's it for this week. Remember, you can find all the stories Jessica and I talked about in her daily BDB column on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. That's it. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastical Pokemon Go kind of weekend. Okay, bye.
Hope you all don't get the super bug. Bye.
Bye.